Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Last week, we began a series called God Is, and if you weren't here last week and you're visiting for the first time, again, let me add my welcome to Lee's and just say thanks for being here with us. If you want to check out the first part of the series last week, it's online at churchlt.com and under our messages tab, or you can go to iTunes. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, you can listen on the podcast. We are making a really big step of faith. And in fact, someone told me last week when I said we were going to do a 14-week study on who God is, someone said, wow, that's pretty courageous of you, like that you're going to spend that long studying this one subject. But really what we're doing is we're taking the story of Scripture and we're looking at who God is in light of the big story of Scripture, from all the way before the Scripture was written, all the way to the very end, after everything will culminate in an incredible reign of God. And so it's going to be a fun subject to go through. I'm doing this series really as a pastor in obedience to Titus chapter 2, verse 1. We looked at it last week. It simply is an instruction to pastors that we would teach sound doctrine. Paul writes to Titus and he says, teach what is appropriate for sound doctrine. Now, for me as a pastor, that's important. It's important for you as a believer to experience sound doctrine. And what really we hope is to build you up as a believer, that you'll be encouraged in your faith, that you'll know really who is this God that I serve, and that you won't have tangent ideas of who God is, that you might not say, well, my God would never do that, or, you know, because the reality is we need to have a biblical view of who God is. We covered the truth last week that God is knowable, and that is foundational to everything. This week, I want to begin by asking you to participate with me, and maybe you'll feel like you were at a different kind of church today, because we're going to have you stand up and sit down a little bit, okay? So here we go. Everybody stand back up to your feet, and this might make the introverts in the room extremely uncomfortable. So Tony, I'm sorry if that was you, but what I'm going to ask you to do is go find someone, and I want you to give them the biggest smile that you have, okay? Big smile on your face, and then I want you to greet them in one of three ways. Number one, you can give them a high five, okay? Ready? High five. Everybody just give me the high five up in the air. All right, yeah, okay, you got that. Number two is a handshake, so you can do a handshake, or number three, you can give them a hug, like, and so, ready? On the count of three, find someone. One, two, three, go. Find someone. Give them a... All right. I love it. I love it. All right. The introverts are all ready for you to be seated, so we'll honor them. The reality is we all, every single person in this room, regardless introverted or extroverted, while we all might have different preferences, we might be, hey, high five is good for me or handshake is good for me. We all long to connect. We all long to have contact. We all desire to belong. It doesn't matter if you are a Christ follower or you're not a Christ follower. If you're here and you're a human being and you're breathing, you desire to connect. You desire to belong. Everyone on the planet has this need. I don't know if you remember the TV show Cheers. If you're, some of you might remember that, yeah. And it was set in a bar in Boston, and every day the regulars would frequent the bar, and one of the regulars' names was Norm, and when Norm walked in, everyone would say, Norm! Norm! farm. Yeah, it was so fun. Like, that just seemed like the kind of community that we all desire to be a part of. And even the theme song of Cheers was very telling. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. Yeah, you want to go where people know you. And their troubles are all the same. That's what the song says. We all want to belong. We walk into a room and we immediately size people up to see, do I belong here? We do that on the surface initially, but then after appearances go away, it quickly goes beyond the surface because we want to know, do these people really care about me? When I think about how they look okay, so now I want to go a little bit deeper. Do they care about me? And the old adage is true that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And reality, we all have that kind of process that we go through, whether it's subconscious or not. Then finally, we start to ask the question, okay, I think they care about me. Can I be friends with these people? Like, can I take it another level deeper? Now, at the church at Lake Travis, we hear over and over again that people say, you guys, y'all are so warm and friendly, and I just have this sense that we belong here. Like, this is just my church. Like, this is the home. This is the place where I'm supposed to be. People from all different backgrounds, and we want everyone to experience the church at Lake Travis in that way. Because the church at Lake Travis isn't a building, it's a people. It's people that love one another and care about the community. When I speak at, I'm in a business networking group called BNI, and every week we have this time in our session where each business or each organization gets up and shares 45-second commercial about what they do and who they are and who their ideal client would be or whatever, who their ask is for the week. And then everyone in the group has a tagline. And so our group has been together. We have about 45 members in the group, and everyone knows the tagline. And so the way it goes is, I say, at the church at Lake Travis, we believe, and they say, you belong. Okay, so let's try that. At the Church of Lake Travis, we believe you belong. Yes. That's the reality that we want to help people experience here at the church on a regular basis. Now, why do we all have that desire to belong? I believe it's found in the subject we're covering today, and that God is Trinity. God is Trinity. Now, for some of you, you just checked out because you heard some word that you didn't understand, and you may have heard that word in church a long time ago, but you didn't understand what it meant, and so you just said, I'm going to totally check out here. The reality is some believers check out intellectually when it comes to this kind of information because they don't feel like they can explain it. And they don't feel like they can articulate it. It's so mysterious, in fact. I don't know if I can even do a great job explaining it. Because I think if we were able to understand all there was about God, then that would make us God. We're not. So I think we do the best we can. One theologian said it this way, Louis Burkhoff. He said, the Trinity is a mystery. Man cannot comprehend it and make it intelligible in some of its relations and modes of manifestation, but unintelligible in its essential nature. And then he goes on, he says, the church has never tried to explain the mystery of the Trinity, but only sought to formulate the doctrine of the Trinity in such a manner that the errors which endangered it were warded off. Burkhoff also explains, it is especially when we reflect on the relation of the three persons to the divine essence that all, this is important, all analogies fail us, and we become deeply conscious of the fact that the Trinity is a mystery far beyond our comprehension. It is the incomprehensible glory of the Godhead. Now, if I lost you in that quote, don't feel bad. I almost lost myself, okay? that's about as deep as we're going to go here today. But all of that to say that God is Trinity is an absolute foundational doctrine that we will never fully understand. However, we can see this truth about God in the Bible. And I would add, it is important to articulate this truth. I serve on the board of More International, an organization that's helping the persecuted church and helping bring resiliency to believers all across the world. In my board meeting last November, I had an opportunity to meet with an Iranian brother in Christ who had grown up in a Muslim family, and in his family, he was really tapped to become an imam in the Muslim faith. And so he's going to school and training to be an imam, and part of their training, he told me, part of his training to convert Christians to Islam is to ask them questions about the Trinity, because they found that most Christians can't answer questions about the Trinity. And so they would use that as a tool to convert them to Muslim. And so is it important for you and I to understand this doctrine? Yeah, it's very important. It's very important for us to really be able to articulate why we believe that God is Trinity. And I believe this passage we're going to look at today not only teaches us about how God is Trinity, but also gives us some practical stuff about our families, about our community, about our businesses, and really about our own lives and even our church and how we want to create this sense of belonging for people. Now, first, I want to show you where God is Trinity is found in the Bible. This is in no way an exhaustive study of the Trinity. In one systematic theology book that I have, it took up 40 pages in that book just talking about the Trinity. So if you want to go online and find a systematic theology, knock yourself out. That'd be awesome if you studied up on it. My message today is only about 10 pages, so it's just a fraction of that. And I think that it's just indicative to say there's so much more to say, and hopefully I will be able to say it well today. Did you know that the word Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible? Never one time is it mentioned in the Bible. However, Trinity is implied through the Scripture over and over again, and so it's really important for us to know that. Trinity simply means, come up here on the screen, means tri-unity or three-in-oneness. That's three persons eternally existing as one person. It's to summarize the idea that God is three persons in one God. There's not three gods and three persons, but it's one God existing in three persons. Genesis chapter 1 kind of lets us in on this first beginning thought of God being having plurality within the Godhead. And it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." God didn't say, "Let me make man in my image," but he said, "Let us make man in our image." In the very beginning of the Bible, we get an indication that within God, there are more than one persons. At this point in the story, we aren't told how many, but there's implied there's more than one person involved. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 says it this way, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." A little bit later, the people in the scripture, they say, "We're going to be like God, and we're going to build a tower." Some of you know the story of the Tower of Babel. "We're going to build a tower to heaven, and we're going to be like God." And here's what the scripture says in Genesis 11:7. It says, "Come, let us," this is God speaking, "come, let us go down, and there confuse their language." This is over and over again throughout the Old Testament. It's the idea that God is one God, but he eternally exists in multiple persons. And in the New Testament, we find a story that we're going to camp out on here today, and it's a story that really reveals this truth of God being Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons in one God. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And this is going to help us learn where this desire for connection comes from. Matthew chapter 3, the words will come up here on the screen if you don't have a Bible, verse 16 and 17. But before I go there, let me just say God is in constant communication with the three members of the Trinity. And wouldn't it be cool to have an inside track on what God was saying in the Trinity? He's connected in communication, but we don't get to hear what God the Father is saying, except in two places in the Bible where we hear him saying to his son something. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 17. We're going to look at Matthew 3 today. Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17. It says it this way. As soon as Jesus was baptized. Now, let me just pause right there and say we have baptism coming up in about 2 weeks, May the 20th. And there are some people who haven't been baptized, but followed Jesus in this way. Jesus submitted himself to John's baptism and was baptized. Did Jesus need to be baptized? No, but he did it out of obedience and as a model for us to follow. So if you haven't been baptized, I want to invite you to do that. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God, one person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, resting on him. And then another thing happened, a voice. We get a glimpse to the conversation that God is having. God the Father, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That is just an awesome thing to say from a father to a son. If you're in a family, those are good words to say. You're my son, and I love you, and I'm pleased with you. I'm proud of you. This is one moment in the scripture where we see three members of the Trinity performing distinct operations that are different. They are one unified in purpose, but they have different roles and functions. God the Father is speaking, and I believe that's a conversation that we need to pay attention to. God the Son is being baptized and then is spoken to from heaven by God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit is descending from heaven to rest upon and empower Jesus for his ministry. Now, here's my thought. We get these three phrases that God says to Jesus, and it demonstrates three things that exist within the Trinity and three things that I believe we all long for and crave. Number one, the Father shows us through his interaction with the Son, he shows the Son acceptance. Acceptance. He says, "This is my Son. This is my Son. You belong. You're here for a reason. You're a part of my family." Family. We, as a church, are a family. The church is a family. We need one another. We stay close and we stay loyal to family. If you're looking for a family, I hope that you don't have to look any further, that you can feel comfortable that you're a part of something bigger than yourself. This is CLT. We are family. And I hope you connect. Just like the Father shows Jesus acceptance and he makes contact with Jesus through these words, "This is my Son." He identifies and accepts him. I hope that you are able to make contact through five simple ways at our church. Five ways. Number one, it happens on Sunday morning, our Sunday worship experience. if you're here, some people kid us because they're like, oh, the connection card. Like it's a joke at this point, right? But it's really important that you complete that if you're visiting our church, because we won't know you're here. We have people come in and out and in and out, and sometimes they'll come for a while, and then one day we'll say, are you new here? And they'll be like, no, I've been here like 6 months. And we're like, wow, you didn't fill out a connection card. We didn't know. The reality is, that's an important thing for us to help you connect. The second way is through next steps. You get introduced to the faith family on a Sunday morning, but you actually join the faith family. This is our church membership, our church partnership class, Next Steps, where you join the family. And we're doing that today, right after this worship experience. So if you're new or you haven't ever been to Next Steps, then stick around and we'll have that class. We'll bring kids to you. It'll make it easy. The third way that you can make contact at the Church of Lake Travis, I already mentioned it, and that's baptism. What you do when you're baptized is you make it known to the rest of the world that this is your family. Not just your local church family, but that you're a part of a greater family, that you're a part of the family of God. And you're saying, my allegiance is to that family. I once was a Smith, but now I'm a Jones. No, I once was living as a child of darkness, but now I'm a child of light. And it's declaring that to anyone that you can. The equivalent will be like you're going to get a video of it, or we're going to go Facebook Live on it. Like that's what it was like in the New Testament. Like you're going to tell everybody that you're part of a new family. Baptism. The fourth way is adult ministries. If you're coming around the Church of Lake Travis and you only come on Sunday mornings, but you never connect at house church like we have this coming Wednesday, or Women's Wednesday, or Man Church, or Men's Bible Study on Wednesday mornings, like if you don't connect in any of those other ways, then the chances are you may not stick around. You might only come in and float away. And I don't believe you can reach your full potential in isolation, as this scripture will demonstrate again and again. The last way is through our ministry team, and that's when you can go out and make a difference with the family. That you can say, hey, we're going to be together and we're going to serve. We belong together and we're going to accomplish something great together. That's really the five contact points where I believe we can not only be accepted, but we can also show acceptance to others. My kids, when they're going out, I look at them and I say, hey, you remember who you are. You're a self. That's who you are. You're a self. And what do you know? Hey, that means that you're going to lead the world in the ways of the selves, not the world leads you in its ways. I hope they believe that. I want them to believe that because I believe it. I want them to know that they're a part of something bigger than themselves. They're not an island. That they are they're part of a community that accepts them as sons and daughters. In the Trinity, there is complete acceptance. God the Father accepts the Son. God the Son accepts the Spirit. God the Spirit accepts the Father. They're equal in their personhood and unique in their display of their acceptance to one another. And this is powerful because all humanity wants to know, do I belong? Am I accepted? Because we're created right here in the image of the Trinity of God. Here's the second way we see the Trinity working in Matthew chapter 3. The Spirit displays affection to the Son, and the Father voices his affection. The Spirit descends and alights on Jesus' head upon his baptism, and the Father speaks these words to the Son. He says, "This is my Son, whom I love." Whom I love, the Father and the Spirit shower Jesus with their affection. And it's amazing to me, as we saw demonstrated here, how there are varying degrees of comfort when it comes to affection. There are some folks that are only okay with the high five. There are others that are like, give me that hug, I want some more. Like, I saw some of you, like, some people were like, give me a hug, and they were like, oh, I don't know about this. this is really interesting, and I think in our culture, in a day and age when Satan has twisted affection for some people and made it into something that wasn't safe, and made it into something that wasn't pure. And so here we see this where we have people that say, I'm not going to let anyone into my life. But if we're going to grow and be more like God, we have to learn to grow in God-honoring, kind, compassionate affection toward one another. The Trinity shows us this kind of care and concern and affection. And then the third way we see this played out is the Father affirms the Son. This is affirmation. Affirmation. What does he say? This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. We not only need acceptance, we need affection and we need affirmation. God, the Trinity, displays this kind of truth for us, and we know we're created in the image of God. Therefore, that's where our desire for these things comes from. Everyone needs affirmation. Everyone needs an attaboy, a pat on the back. I read an article a few weeks ago written by a guy named Ben Sledge, who writes for a website, and he talks about this need for connection. And he says that one of the things that he sees often with people who struggle with pornography is their need for connection. And they're lied to by the world. And the world says, you don't need real connection. You just need another fix. And he goes through this litany of examples of this. But the reality is, we all just need real connection. We all need attaboys and attagirls. We need to be able to say to Micah and Lindsay, guys, you guys knocked the ball out of the park this morning. You led us to the Father's throne. You did an awesome job. We need those kind of things. Last week, Manuel, he pulled me aside right before church, and he said, "Hey, Pastor, I just want to tell you, the last few months you've just been doing a great job, and your sermons have just been so good. And let me ask you, do you think I preached better last week after hearing him say that? Absolutely, I did. And I believe we all need affirmation. Now, I hope, is this too simple for you? Or is this helpful? Okay, good. I want you to turn to the person next to you and just say, I'm proud of you. Yeah. Affirmation. It's a lost art in the church. And before I go any further, let me just say this. Our ministry team, that's all of our children's ministry team, our prayer team, our tech team, our worship team, our elementary and preschool, our hospitality team. Our ministry team got here this morning at like 9 o'clock, and they had training and worship, and they showed up early to be ready to serve you all. And I just want to say thank you to them and say, you guys are awesome ministry team. Thank you so much. Why am I saying that? Because I believe this to be true. I believe we all need affirmation. And the Trinity shows us this. The Trinity is in constant state of acceptance, affection, and affirmation to one another. Believing in the Trinity reminds us of our constant need for acceptance, affirmation, and affection. So here's the challenge. I want to implore you to don't walk to community. Run to community. Run to community. Join us here at the church at Lake Travis. Don't try to live out your faith alone. That's the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy is that we can live disconnected lives and grow into everything God wants for us. The truth of God is you need one another. We need each other. We need one another to be in community. One of the ways the enemy tells us this lie that it's okay to live a disconnected life is through social media. Just like him. to use the word social in something that's not social at all. Social media, it creates more disconnect than it does relationship. What we need isn't a text message. We need a cup of coffee. What we need isn't an email. We need a meal together. We need real connection. This is what the scripture teaches us. I already mentioned next steps. I won't talk about that. Sign up to be baptized. You can do that on May the 20th, which is just in 2 weeks. I think one way that the enemy teaches us this, and we see this happen in our culture, not necessarily through the Church of Lake Travis. We actually tried this. We tried to broadcast our services on Facebook Live. And then we thought, you know what? That's just playing to this idea that you can have some kind of relationship but be disconnected. And so, like, some churches have online church. We don't have that because we want people to have real relationships with one another. We want people to connect in real relationships. Here's what Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 says. It says, "The one who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. He rebels against all sound judgment." Isolation is a lie from the enemy that wants to take you down. And if he can get you isolated and get you out of community, then he can cause you to stumble and sin, and then he can take you down. But here's what community does. At men's Bible study a few weeks ago, one of our brothers said, "Hey guys, you know what? I was tempted to sin, but I thought about you guys. And I thought about what I've been learning here in Bible study, and I was able to endure that temptation and not give in to it." That's what community does. What community does is a group of women rallying around a single mom to throw a baby shower for her and have a celebration of life for this new baby. That's what community does. Community cares for one another. Community provides acceptance and affirmation and really this huge, important thing of affection to one another. We have families in house church who care for one another, and we invite you to be a part of those kinds of community. And I would just ask, are you willing to have a radical kind of commitment to who God is, that God is Trinity, and in light of Him being Trinity, that you will practice these things in your life, that you'll accept people, that you'll affirm them, that we'll just be the most encouraging place and patting people on the back and high-fiving people and even giving them hugs and just saying, "Hey, I love you. I'm proud of you," and support one another. And may we be a community that reflects the ultimate community, the community within the three persons of the Trinity. And that we will be a worshiping people that will say, "God, you are amazing. I can't comprehend you. I can't even fathom how this works and how you are one God eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, I'm not going to try to figure you out, but I'm going to bow before you and I'm going to worship you because you are God and you're amazing."
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.